Presidents Barack Obama and François Hollande have pledged during talks at the White House to scale up the airstrikes on ISIS. Here at home, meanwhile, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull told Parliament yesterday there's no change in Australia's military commitment, and neither has one been sought or is being contemplated. The PM strongly rejecting calls from within his own troops to send in special forces.
The strength of our free people will see off these thugs and tyrants as it has seen off so many of their kind before. This is not a time for gestures or machismo. Calm, clinical, professional, effective. That's how we defeat this menace.
That's the Prime Minister in the Parliament yesterday, and he's told the Parliament we should grieve and we should be angry at the recent attacks, but we mustn't let grief or anger cloud our judgment, which was a sentiment echoed this morning by the US President.
Groups like ISIL cannot defeat us on the battlefield, so they try to terrorize us at home, against soft targets, against civilians, against innocent people. Even as we're vigilant, we cannot and we will not succumb to fear, nor can we allow fear to divide us, for that's how terrorists win. We cannot give them the victory of changing how we go about living our lives.
That's the US President speaking in those talks in Washington alongside the French President François Hollande. Well, Michelle Grattan's in our Parliament House studios. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
So yesterday in the National Security Statement, Michelle, the Prime Minister told the House that a terror incident on Australian soil remains likely, but he also said that, quote, security agencies are working diligently and expertly to prevent that happening, and while we can't entirely eliminate the risk of terrorism any more than we can eliminate the risk of serious crime, we can mitigate it. Do you think the Prime Minister struck the right balance, making people aware of the risks without overstating the threat?
Yes, I do think he struck the right balance, and balance was very much his central aim. He was saying that ISIL must be defeated in the Middle East, but he was, as you mentioned, not indicating that there were not any calls from our allies to do more, and he didn't contemplate any increase in the Australian force.
He was really clear on that point, and then we heard him there talking about not a time for gestures or machismo. How much was that element of it? It's been pretty widely interpreted as a slapdown of Tony Abbott and his support base, people like the former Defence Minister Kevin Andrews, who've both called for some kind of boots on the ground. Did you see it as that?
I think that that certainly could be read into it and was read into it. So whatever the intention, the fact that it was interpreted that way is important. I think that it did overestimate, in a sense, the calls that have been made, because Malcolm Turnbull seemed to be addressing the question of unilateral extra action by Australia and on a quite large scale, whereas I think Tony Abbott and Kevin Andrews have been saying that the effort against ISIL should be increased generally, and as part of that, Australia could or should send in special forces or whatever. So actually their position's a bit more nuanced than is being portrayed. But nevertheless, there is quite a big gap between the government's position, which is supported by the opposition, so you've got bipartisanship there, and the position of Tony Abbott, Kevin Andrews and some others.
And this has got people paying close attention now to the group which has been branded the resistance movement by some other Liberal MPs who are getting a bit fed up with their behaviour. The SMH is reporting that a number of Abbott supporters with the former PM are regularly lunching together in a room in the ministerial wing called the Monkey Pod. The West Australian says Tony Abbott turned up to one of the lunches with a chocolate cake that he joked was made by his landlady, who happens to be Peter Credlin at the moment, as, according to the West Australian. How serious a problem do you think this is for the PM? Should he just ignore this lunch group?
I think that he should largely ignore them, because, after all, firstly, he is very popular in the electorate. The coalition is now ahead in the polls, comfortably ahead in the polls. People are talking about Bill Shorten's leadership. So all that means that he is absolutely safe till the next election. And of course, each election tells its own story and no one predicts beyond the election. But as things look now, people are talking about him winning the election comfortably. So why would he be too preoccupied with people who are obviously happy, unhappy and disenchanted on the back bench? They are no threat to him.
And just briefly, Michelle, Malcolm Turnbull's got a bit of shake-up of the public service. Michael Thorley will no longer be Secretary of Prime Minister and Cabinet. He'll likely be replaced by the former head of Treasury, Martin Parkinson, who, of course, had been dumped by the Tony Abbott.
Well, this must be the ultimate irony, because it was outrageous that Martin Parkinson was dumped and then asked to stay on for a year or so. Now he's been returned in an even more powerful position, and I think that this is vindication of the fact that Martin Parkinson is a really top public service mind and operator, and the whole thing shows the foolishness of the sort of rather vengeful approach that was applied in removing him, because of course that all went to the fact that he had been previously, before his Treasury head, head of the Climate Change Department and an enthusiast for policies on climate change.
Okay, Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan from The Conversation and Canberra University.